reading from the Gospel according to John. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. So who is this woman, Mary, mother of God? You know, as a Protestant, most of my images are of Mary holding the Christ child in the manger. She is the willing teenage mother who travels to Bethlehem and bears God in a stable far from home. She is the lone woman in the Christmas creche, yet a central figure. My childhood best friend, Melissa, went to the Catholic school down the road. We had many adventures together. But when I think of Mary, Mother of God, I remember the May crowning ceremony in which Melissa led my sister and me. We created an altar, and Missy brought her glow-in-the-dark statue of the Virgin Mary, and we adorned this statue with a crown of white flowers, and we covered the altar with every white flower blooming in the neighborhood. Beyond those images, those two images for me, Mary was not central to Jesus' story. In this passage, Jesus is speaking to his mother Mary from the cross. "Woman, here is your son." And he asks her to care for his beloved friend as her son, and John, the disciple, is asked to care for her. "Here is your mother." I can't imagine what Mary must have felt. I can only imagine. In 1999, the Reverend Barbara Crafton wrote about this passage in her 7-part poem entitled "The Last 7 Words of Christ," which was inspired by Haydn's piece of the same name. Ms. Crafton offered this, part 3, "Mother, this is your son." "This is not my son. You are my son." "This is my son's friend. He's about your age. He's strong and vital as you were just this morning before they began to do to you what they are doing now. Before they drove nails into your hands as if they were blocks of wood, before this happened to my baby. Now we stand and watch, your best friend and I can't bear to see, but neither can I bear to leave, and neither can he. And so I do love him. I love him for staying. So I will not argue with you about this. I won't allow our last conversation to be an argument. I want so much to help you get through this. It tastes like blood in my mouth. But there isn't anything else I can do to help you since they won't let me come near you, let me touch you. I can't even brush your hair out of your eyes. You are going quickly now. This can't last much longer. So, all right. When this is over, it will be John and I. I will love him because he will remember you And you will be all that I want to talk about for a long time after this is over. Long after most people think it's time I got over it. But there was a time you lived in me. I held you safe right here under my heart, in the place where you have an open wound. You were part of my body then. I would be part of yours now. I would leap to take your place up there. I would laugh if they drove nails into my hands instead of into yours. I would look down at you, looking up, and I would see your chest heave with your crying, and mine would be heaving with my failing breathing, and I would shout, "He lives!" and stand and send my last breath to the sky. Thanksgiving. As a mother myself, it seems there have been many cross moments, but the one most vivid in my memory happened when my son was jailed due to addiction. In another congregation, I participated in jail ministry, and as a part of that ministry, I'd been in every jail facility in Hamilton County, which helped me to know the place where my son was being held. But there's not much comfort knowing that the child I bore was locked up. I too wanted to take his place, but a friend kept telling me, "Your job is to love him. You just have to love him." So, as difficult as it was, I would go to visit. He was housed at the now closed Queensgate on the only floor where you couldn't visit your inmate loved one face to face. Instead, I visited via a weird angle camera and a telephone receiver. Our 15-minute visit happened in a large room with many phones side by side. I sat and talked to my son with another mother on my left shoulder, talking to her son, where each of our conversations could be overheard. It was very difficult. It was a hard place. As I told my son goodbye and I love you, I heard my neighbor say to her son, "No, I'm not going to refinance my house to bail you out." Both of these emotions live together, love and frustration. And they lived in both of us. We stepped back from the phones as our daughters took the receiver. And we looked at each other with tearful eyes and said, and I think I said, "This is really hard." And this stranger and I came together, and we hugged for a long time. We didn't know each other, and we will never meet again, but we cared for each other. I felt loved in a moment of great darkness. It wasn't just our inmates, but God was there for us too. That same relational God that hangs on the cross today. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, this is your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. My view of Mary is much richer today. I know the suffering that we parents do when our children suffer. But Jesus' words to his mother and best friend comfort as he asked each to take the other as his own. He affirms what my friend kept reminding me. You just have to love. You aren't alone. I am with you. Amen. Let us say together in the middle of page 7, the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.